friends. Welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I am your host, Rebecca George, and I'm so thrilled to be with you today. I hope you find this space to be a place where you can blend what you love with the Jesus who makes you shine. And I can't think of a girl who's done that better than multi-platinum selling singer-songwriter Lauren Elena, who we get to talk to today all about her new album. We talk about her new book, Get Good at Being You. Man, I love that message, and I am just so excited to share it with you. I may or may not have geeked out over my love for Trisha Yearwood and her friendship with her. You guys know how I feel about Garth and Trisha, so I held it together as good as I knew how. Okay, we do the best we can. But I really loved this conversation. I think you're going to love it too. But before we get to it, I want to share about one of our sponsors, the Shine Bright Journal. The Shine Bright Journal is a free 100-page resource that you can go grab at radicalradiance.live that will walk you through a lot of the things that we talk about around here. What does it look like to radiate the heart of Jesus and all that we do? It helps you kind of unpack that. So I'd love for you to go grab it today at radicalradiance.live. And now let's welcome our new friend, Lauren Elena, to the show. Lauren, holy cow. I'm so excited to sit down and talk with you today. Thank you so much for being with me.
Oh my gosh. Of course. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I was telling a couple of friends that we were talking this morning, and I called my mom, as you do when you, like, you know, call your mom. And I was talking about us talking, and it was so fun to talk with her about, like, our history with you, because when you were on American Idol, I was like graduating high school and I was in this like pivotal time of life. Right. And so I went back and have been listening to Wildflower for like the last 2 days.
Oh,
and I need you to know that, like my mother does, is the most true thing that could ever be said about my mom and I. And it used to be this, like, it would make me cry when it first came out, just in thinking about my relationship with my mom. So talking to you has just sent this whole like flood of memories back to me. And because it was so long ago when that album came out, it was when I first found out about you. And so I loved that album, and it's so fun to get to talk to you now. I'm just so excited.
That is so sweet. I don't get to talk about that album very much anymore.
Yeah, I know. I was like, man, I'm digging like way back. Like I had
the archives,
like the physical album in my first little Honda Accord that I drove when I was 16. So that's just so fun. So
that makes me so proud.
Yeah, it should make you proud. That was like your first album after American Idol, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. That's what I thought. Gosh, that's so awesome.
In like 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, so like, I would love to start there. You were on American Idol super young. Remind me how old you were.
15.
You're 15. Okay. I want to hear, like, what was having that experience like at that young of an age? Like, how did that shape you? Tell me all about it.
Goodness gracious. It was a roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
15's a hard age.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
And hard age for really all hard. Of us.
Really hard on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. I turned 16 by the finale. So I was like in between 15 and 16 when I was on the show. Crazy. I mean, life-changing, obviously. And then 30 million people had an opinion about a 16-year-old girl. That was
right.
Crazy. But, you know, it set me up for everything I have now. I'm so thankful for that experience. But it was definitely difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I could see that. Well, I was so excited about your book. First of all, way to go on the title. That is like the coolest title ever. Get Good at Being You. I'm so excited about it. And I want to hear a little bit about why was maybe the message of this book so important to you, or, you know, it felt like something like, I want to put some pen to paper, on this topic. Like, why did that matter to you?
Well, the book is really an extension of what I try to accomplish with my music. I actually have a copy right here.
It's so pretty.
Thank you. I have a song called Getting Good. So
yeah,
I'm here around.
Yeah, you do. And it's with Trisha Yearwood, and I'm dead over it. I've been listening to it all day. It's so pretty.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to get back to the book in a second. Can we talk about how fun was it for you to work with her?
Well, I adore her. She's a really,
yeah.
She's a good person to have in your corner. She actually wrote the foreword for the book.
Oh, that's so amazing.
She's my girl, and she's the best. So I've been on her cooking show a couple of times, and we have that song together, and she wrote the foreword for the book. She's just really, I'm very thankful for her.
Yeah, that's awesome. So have y'all been friends for like a good number of years?
A few years. Yeah. We've gotten closer in the last couple of years, but yeah. I met her probably 4 years ago.
That's awesome. That's so sweet.
We're very similar. We have very similar.
I could see that. Yeah. Like when I saw that she was writing the foreword, and then when I saw the song, I was like, I feel like they would be cut from the same cloth. I don't know either of them, but I just, from like what I know of them, I feel like Lauren could be Trisha's little sister. And so
she calls me Junior.
Oh my gosh. I could so see that. I could so see that. So what all my people know that you don't know, because our friendship started 7 minutes ago, Garth is like my favorite artist of all time. I mean, I know everybody says that, but I don't know, in the last couple of years. So I moved like 9 hours away from where I grew up a couple of years ago when I married my husband. And at some point in the last couple of years, the documentary that Netflix has about Garth came out, and I watched it with my husband. And I said to him, like, as some of the music was playing, like all these memories of my childhood kept flooding back. And I just like boohooed throughout the whole thing, because when I listen to artists like Garth and Trisha, I'm in my dad's old red Toyota Tacoma on the way to the park to go on a walk. Like I'm immediately like right back there, which is so crazy how we tie so many memories to music, which I think is so cool. And so, and I can't think of many other artists other than Garth and Trisha that like to that extent, I can tie so much of my childhood and so much of me, it feels like too. And so anyway, when I was listening to the album today, I was like, oh my gosh, we have to talk about Garth and Trisha, because they're some of my favorites. That's so fun.
I called her one day and we were talking about the single, and I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm just cooking Garth a meatloaf.
Oh my gosh.
Trisha and Garth are just like at their house eating meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
That's the coolest.
And she told me that Garth wouldn't stop whistling Getting Good. And I was like, officially, I can quit.
Yeah, I can be done now.
Hey friends, quick break in this conversation to remind you of something. If you are loving the show, you're loving the conversations we're having, it would mean the absolute world to me if you would leave a rating and a written review on Apple Podcasts for Radical Radiance. When that happens, when more of those happen, the show gets put in front of more women, and in turn, it allows them the opportunity to take part in conversations that will show them more about what it looks like to radiate the heart of Jesus. And I can't think of anything better than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would take just 2 minutes of your time and leave a rating and a written review. I'd love to hear what you think. Now, let's get back to the conversation.
It's pretty epic.
That's so cool. I love that. I love that y'all are friends. Well, I want to hear a little bit more about the book. There's some stuff that I'm excited about that you talk about in the book. One of the topics is body image, which is a topic that I'm really passionate about talking about. It's been an area of struggle for me, and an area where I found some freedom, and I feel like I'm still experiencing freedom over the maybe shame that I've experienced over my body over the years. And I think more women than we probably would like to admit have this struggle. And so I'm curious, how have you found freedom in this area, and why was it maybe important for you to talk about in the book, especially like being a part of an industry that like celebrates perfection and image and all the things, like whatever you feel comfortable sharing? I'd love to dig into that.
Well, you know, I had an eating disorder for a really long time, and I talk about it in detail in the book, but being famous at 16, and I have a very curvy body, just the way that I'm built. And
yeah,
It's a much more popular body now than it was when I was 16.
Yeah.
And so people would comment on my weight online a lot, and really just, that's not cool. But
no,
I wasn't confident enough or empowered enough to not let that bother me.
Yeah.
And so I really struggled for a really long time. And, I mean, my hair fell out. I had some pretty severe health problems from it.
Yeah.
And I had to get help. And that experience actually kind of shaped my brand. I started speaking out about it and telling people, like, I get it. And you never would have thought that from me, because I'm always the most confident girl in the room. I'm the loudest. Yeah. I'm the most outgoing. I'm not shy in any way. I just was insecure about my body. And it's something that I will, like you said, struggle with for all of my life. There is no magic wand that I can wave and be like, poof.
Yeah.
I think my body's amazing all of a sudden. Yeah. I just appreciate my body now. And I celebrate that it's different and that it's unique. So that's been quite a journey that I've had to walk through.
Yeah, for sure. I can't fathom doing that publicly. Like, I know for me, it's been enough of a struggle for me not being on American Idol at 16 and being famous that young. I can't imagine publicly having to walk through that, but it's interesting. It's like each season, at least for me, brings its own challenges in that. So it's like, okay, I'll find freedom in this one area. And then, like, I'm about to turn 30. So my body is changing in that way for the first time. Like, I feel like I'm getting that first sort of dip in metabolism. And it's like, okay, well, when I would work out in this way when I was 25, it worked. It's not working now. And why is it not working now? Right. And so I feel like there's always those opportunities to surrender that to God, but also figure out what your body needs in certain seasons. And that changes. And that's, like, so fine. Right. Like, that's so
absolutely
normal. And so I don't know. That's just something me and God are navigating even right now. So I love that you write about it. And that's, like, a super brave thing to write about, because you didn't have to do that. Like, you didn't have to go there. And I know that because you did, it's going to encourage a lot of women. So that means a lot.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, for sure. So I want to dig into this as well, because again, you were on American Idol super young and, you know, entered the music industry super young, and this whole idea of getting good at being you, what was that process like for you as you grew up super fast in the music industry? Like, what were maybe some of those challenges and kind of some of the things that you wanted to cover in the book?
I talk about early on, people really trying to dictate who I was. And as a 16-year-old, I wasn't, like, firm in that yet. So they made my hair blonder. They tried to get me to be thinner. They wanted me to wear different clothes. It was like, and all of this stuff was, like, really stressing me out, because it didn't feel authentic.
Yeah.
But it also felt like, well, maybe my authentic self won't work. So I need to do this so that this, and it was just, took me years to finally be like, I don't actually like that dress, so I'm not gonna wear it. And I like my hair a little darker than that. And
yeah,
if I want my hair to be brown or black, I will do that.
Know? And I almost wonder, and again, we live in two very different worlds, but I'm working on my first book, and so I have an agent, and I'm even thinking about my relationship with her, and she, and I'm so thankful for this, feels like my advocate in so many ways. Like, she truly is like a partner in making this dream a reality. Right. And so, and I've been thankful for the fact that I don't feel like I've had to compromise anything or anything of who I am in that process. And so, like, did you have to find that too? Like, your people who would sort of advocate for you in that? What did that look like?
She's sitting right here.
Tell me about her.
Her name is Opry. Just kidding. My dog's name is Opry. Her name's Trisha. And my manager, Trisha, actually came into my career 7 years ago. And everything kind of changed as far as that goes for me. Like, if I told Trisha, I think I'm probably going to shave half my head, she'd be like, if that makes you happy, go for it.
Cool, girl. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to.
Right.
But she doesn't put that pressure on me to look or be anything other than who I am. And yeah. I think that's so important. And I actually have a chapter dedicated to that in the book too. I named each chapter after a part of my life. A song that I've written that, and then I kind of tell about the thought behind the song.
Yeah.
And that one is called Holding the Other. And it's like, it takes a village, right? You got to have other people like in your corner, holding your hand through all the stuff.
Yeah. I love that.
It's important to find those people for sure.
Yeah. I love that. So speaking of, you a couple months ago released your new album. It's so good. The one that you and Trisha sing on. So it's called Sitting Pretty on Top of the World. So good. And I'm curious. So were you writing some of it in 2020? Had you written some of it already?
All of it in 2020.
I was going to say, yeah. So what was that like creating? What was it like creating in the midst of everything that was going on in the world? Like, how did that maybe impact your work? Do you feel like?
Well, you know, being home, I wrote a lot of it on Zoom, and I think it made me more vulnerable and more emotional writing at home.
Yeah.
And it was such an emotionally supercharged time anyway. Mm-hmm. So I think it really pushed me to kind of tap into that. I'm so proud of that album. Like, so proud.
So good. What's your favorite song? Do you have a favorite song?
Probably It Was Me. It's the first one on there. It's a traditional country song. Basically, the hook of the song says, "It wasn't you I didn't love, it was me."
Yeah.
And it's about, I didn't love myself, so I couldn't love you, which actually kind of ties into this book.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's so good. Well, I have been listening to it all day. I like geeked out over Wildflower for the last few days, and that was super fun. And then I listened to Sitting Pretty on Top of the World before we got to talk. And I love it. So I'm excited for people to listen to it and to grab the book. So as you think about releasing this book into the world, like, what are you hoping for as women pick it up and, I don't know, get their hands on like some pretty vulnerable parts of your story? Like, what are you hoping comes out of that?
I just want people to be able to see themselves in my story and to find their own healing in whatever situation they're going through. I do call out quite a few different scenarios, breakups, loss of life, my own personal battles. So there's kind of a lot there depending on, you know, what someone may be going through. I hope there's something for everyone. And I hope that it can inspire people to love themselves more. Cut yourself some slack, girls.
Yes.
Seriously. And just to be the best version of themselves that they can be.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. So as we are walking into 2022, when people listen to this, gosh, I hope 2022, we get to like see more of each other and be in person more. Like, what are you excited about that's coming up that maybe you like can tell people about that? I don't know. The last 18 months have been weird and hard, and we've had to cancel so much stuff. Yeah. Like, did you have to cancel tours? What was that like?
Oh, yeah.
You? Yeah.
I was on the road, and midday we were informed that the tour was canceled and we went home. Like, never before COVID would I have thought that that was a possibility ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just got in the bus and went home.
Yeah.
So bizarre. So bizarre. But we have quite a few tours lined up for next year that we're about to be announcing.
That's awesome.
A lot of dates booked for the summer.
Good.
So it feels like finally we're going to be getting back out there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. That's so exciting. Okay. Well, one of the questions that I ask all my guests that I love and I'm excited to ask you has to do with sort of the theme of the show. So the show's called Radical Radiance, which really has the heart of like having conversations, creating resources for women that help us connect. Like,
what does it look like to radiate the heart of Jesus in all that we do in our career, in our work, our life, our relationships. And so, and God really kind of gave me that from this verse in Psalm 34, it's verse 5. And it says, those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered in shame. And so the question I love asking is, Lauren, what do you think about Jesus makes you radiant?
Well, I think the most important thing that Jesus ever talked about and represented on this earth was love. And I just want to show up every single day and represent love, love for myself, love for others. I mean, it's our job, our duty as Christians to be Christ-like as much as possible. And that's what he represented was love. He is love. So I try to, the whole book is about love. My whole book that I'm putting out is about love.
Yeah.
All of my music is about love. So that's what I want to be. I want to show up every day with love and kindness for myself and for others.
Yeah. That's so good. So good. Well, Lauren, I am so excited for you, for this book to release and for people to get their hands on your new album. It's just so good. So tell everybody, where can they grab the book? Where can they go listen? All the things.
The book will be out December 7th, anywhere you get books.
Awesome.
I also did an audio book, but same time. Comes out at the same time.
Okay.
So if you want to hear it in my Southern accent, you can
get
an audio
book. Yes, girl. Yes.
Of me reading it. Yeah, so that comes out December 7th. And then you can follow me on any socials, my Facebook and Instagram are just at Lauren Alaina, LaurenAlaina. And then Twitter, because someone took Lauren Alaina, is at Lauren _ Alaina.
Don't you hate when they do that?
I think it's like actually her name too.
It's actually what?
I think it's actually her name.
Probably is. The same thing happened to me on Instagram and I still don't have, I had to like add a thing anyway. So I get that. So, okay. That's so cool. So people know where to contact you or to get in touch with you and grab the book. I'm just so excited for you. So I just could not be more grateful to get to meet you. I feel like your music's been a part of my life for so many years since high school. So I just want to say a big thank you.
Well, thank you. You're so sweet. I'm glad I could do it.
So fun.
Tell your mom hi.
Oh my gosh, I will. I will right after this call.
Thank you so much.
Okay, I hope you loved Lauren as much as I did. She was just a joy to get to know, and I'm so thankful for that conversation. I hope you will go grab a copy of Get Good at Being You wherever books are sold today. It's out in the world, and I just can't wait for you to read more of her story. And next time, guys, I get to share such a special conversation with you. I got to sit down with Stephen Curtis Chapman's wife, Mary Beth Chapman, to talk all about their adoption journey. You may know just from his career and some of his music that adoption is a big part of their story. They've adopted 3 of their 5 children, and we get to talk all about that as well as their work with their organization, Show Hope. It is a conversation you do not want to miss, so join me next time, same time, same place, and we will sit down with Mary Beth Chapman.